So this is going to be a very eclectic message. It's going to be a summary of what I've been doing and prophetic words that I've been hearing over the past 2 to 3 weeks. It's nice to get the confirmation. Alan gave me a hug, welcomed me home, and prophesied over me. And our brother Reggie came up and just prophesied the same thing. You know, when God prophesies something twice, it means he's about to do it. So if he prophesies it over us, he's prophesying it over you. Where to begin? Just getting on the plane was a trip. I thank all of you who prayed for Casey and for me while I was gone the last 4 weeks. I don't think the opposition wanted us to go because I was rerouted so many times. I rebooked this trip 4 times. Got to the airport. My plane flies in. I said, oh, good, it's going to be on time this time, and it's running, so I can't say it's too cold. And then the de-icer wasn't working. So they got it fixed, took it for a test flight, and it wasn't working again. Got it fixed, took it for a test flight, and I missed my flight to Seoul, Korea. So they booked me on this ticket where they would fly me to Detroit, and I'd stay overnight in Detroit, fly the next night to New York City, LaGuardia, catch a cab, and I have 3 hours to catch the international flight across to JFK. Now, I said that was ugly, but it was the only way I was going to get there close to on time. I was going to be about 18 hours late. Well, New York City got shut down the next day because of 13 inches of snow. So that would have never worked. When I got to Detroit, I went to the premium lounge and I said, can you tell me what I need to do for this flight? And the lady looked at my ticket and she said, that is ugly. So she rebooked me to Chicago where I spent the night, and she got me on a flight that got me into Seoul 3 hours before my original flight to Ho Chi Minh City. So I made it to Ho Chi Minh City on time. And no one was at the airport to get me. I didn't know where we were staying. I didn't know the phone number of anybody there. And I didn't have a phone that would work there. So what did I do? I called my bride back in Spenceport, New York. And I said, call Calgary. Talk to Peter's wife, who was the guy who invited me to go over there. She calls the apostle in Ho Chi Minh City, who calls Peter on his throwaway phone that he just got that afternoon when he got in there. And the pastor was supposed to pick us up. His feet were swollen up too much that he didn't, and he couldn't come pick us up. So I got into the hotel about 3 hours late, but I finally got there. And the Lord did amazing things. Some of you heard the testimony about, well, we did a conference for 120 leaders across Vietnam, across the church in different aspects of society. One of them was a young man who's one of the Communist Party leaders who went on a business trip to Nigeria for 2 years and got born again and came back, and they don't know what to do with this guy. So he was one of our drivers, and the last day we were there, we ended up ministering to him personally for about 5 hours. So this group was pretty interesting. Praise was pretty dynamic this time. They didn't care too much what I looked like. I only took 2 short-sleeve shirts with me. It was summertime over there. Actually, it was dry season the whole time, so it was in the mid-90s to low 100s every place I went. We did a lot of spontaneity. All of the messages I prepared are still in their folders. It was whatever the Lord spoke during worship. The Lord moved so powerfully. They're in a drought, which is unusual for Ho Chi Minh City. Some of you guys have been there and know that. And during worship one time, the Lord just gave me this word about the angel of Vietnam being released. And, of course, they just went through the roof. And it's hard prophesying through an interpreter, let alone through an interpreter when the crowd is speaking louder than the interpreter. And that night, it poured overnight. And so they came back the next morning and said, you know, the Lord gave us a prophetic confirmation of what you just spoke about our nation was about to happen, because rain is a symbol of blessing from the Lord. And that's the only time it rained. The last year when I was there, it rained all the time. That's the only time it rained in 10 days. Some of you know the testimony that we'd been prophesying all day. And you get pretty worn out when you're doing that. And the apostle that we had commissioned said, we're done. And I said, oh, good. And I'm just starting to relax. And he said, but there's one more. And this couple walks up, and the lady's helping her husband get up to the front. And she said, he doesn't have any use in the right side of his body. And you could tell that in the way he was sort of limped up there, and his arm was like this. And she said, he wants to use the right side of his body again. So I looked at, I was with a prophet that I'm going to tell you about and then segue into something else and back to the testimony. And this prophet was from Vancouver. And I looked at him and he goes, which meant he wanted me to take the lead. I was the lead minister in this group of three stooges. And so I just started praying for him, and I stopped and I said, why is his arm like that? So it's good to ask questions. Everything we did was teaching. We tried to teach them what they were supposed to do. We were modeling what apostolic centers do, and that's equip everyone. By the end of the conference, they were doing this stuff. And so his wife said, oh, several years ago he had a stroke, and he's been partially paralyzed ever since. So instead of praying for the hand, we started praying for new brain cells. And we started praying for this withered arm. And he's got his arm out like this now. I've never had this happen before. I've felt all kinds of things when I prayed for people. But I put my hand on his withered leg, and it was just like pulsating. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, you're doing something. I mean, and he's just, and everybody's watching. So I went back up to the arm and I said, can he do anything with that hand at all? Is this what you need, Zach? It's the one that says fellowship hall. And his wife said, he's not able to do anything at all. He can't hold anything. He can't do anything. So I felt strength in his arm. I said, grab my finger. And the interpreter tells him to grab my finger. And I thought, that hurts. I mean, it was really hurting. So his arm's down here like this, and I just started raising my hand. And this is what everybody's seeing now. A hand that doesn't do anything, up like this. And my finger's really hurting now. So I bring his arm back down. Yeah, I mean, we're just talking to the arm. We're not, oh, Lord, would you? We're just taking the authority and speaking to it. So I tell him to let go of my hand, and he does. And I grabbed a microphone like that one there, and I put it in his hand. And he took it, and he brought it up over his head, and he waved it, and he brought it up to his mouth, and he started thanking the Lord. At which point, that was about 15 minutes of just talking to the Lord over his body. Well, some of you who got my update got that. But some of you didn't get this because I haven't written it down yet. Don't know if I ever will. Sunday, they rearranged. That was Thursday. So we're doing all this ministry, and Sunday we were supposed to speak in different churches. The three of us went to different churches in the morning, then there was one in the afternoon, then all of us went to the same one at night. But the church I was supposed to go to canceled for some reason, and the apostle and his wife had started a new church, and they told me I was going to that one. So I said, okay. So I get there, and it's meeting in the upper room of a business in a house, and there were about 60 people in there. And they have this problem. They have so many young people that they need more space because all of their kids were out in a little area that they met in. And after my message, I started prophesying over everybody, and we prophesied over everybody that was there. And this guy's standing in the back, and he looks very familiar. And when it was their turn, he and his wife just come walking up. I realized it was the guy that we prayed for on Thursday. No one helped him walk but God. That's the type of thing that happened everywhere we went. Now, Kirk Duncan is the prophet from Vancouver. He's 77. He'll turn 78 this year. And so we're just talking over lunch one day, and he said, "Yeah, I know so-and-so and so-and-so." I said, "Well, you're a Latter Rain guy." And he said, "Yeah, that's when I got saved." And he got saved when I was 3 years old, I think. And I said, "Do you know Eldon Wilson?" He said, "Yeah, I like Eldon. I haven't seen him in 20 years. I said, "Well, he's a good friend of ours. He's actually Ron's favorite teacher." When Ron and Lisa were commissioned, Eldon was the presiding speaker. So I said, "Yeah, Eldon's doing a lot of really great stuff. He's still traveling all around the world." So we're just fellowshipping. And he says to me, we were doing a presbytery once because I told him about a presbytery that Eldon and Jerry Wilson did here. Huh? Jerry Tallow, yeah, just a couple days ago. And he said, we were doing a presbytery once, and there was a young musician there, long hair, just really a psalmist under the Lord. And they called him up for ministry, and we just knowed that the Lord was all over him. And said he was a prophet of God and he'd be a prophet to the nations. The man's name was Kim Clement. So, why we were, just after I left Vietnam, Kim Clement releases this word, a new president emerging and an eye, visible to the eye. So I want to read this prophecy to you. Have any of you heard this prophecy yet? This prophecy came out on February 27th. God is not done with this nation. The Spirit of God says, "My people have cried. My people have cried out for an answer. And this is what I have said, says the Spirit of life. A veil has been placed upon this nation, and I did it. I did it for a season. My people would wonder, and faith would increase. For in darkness, faith grows. In despair, faith grows. I did it. But now my fury has ended. Hear me. Do you know that we are just past 40 years from the decision to kill babies as a legality in this nation, November of last year. The period of judgment is over. We're going to start seeing miraculous healings again. They stopped because we decided to kill a generation. Hear me, for I have found a man after my own heart." That means he's got the character of God. "I have found a man after my heart, and he is amongst you. He is one of the brothers, but singled out for presidency of the United States. But hear the transcription of God upon the heart of his prophet. How the gold has become dim, the stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, are now regarded as clay pots, and those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets, and those who brought up in royal scarlet now embrace ash heaps. Is this what I wanted? My people were brighter than snow, whiter than milk. They were like sapphire in their appearance, and now they are stricken for lack of fruits in the field. The hands of once compassionate women have cooked their own children, and their children have become food for them. Your children have become food for who were once compassionate women. But my fury is fulfilled, says the Lord, and I have now kindled a fire in Zion. I have kindled a fire in Zion, in America, and the nations throughout the earth, and my fist is about to smack down on Russia. For out of the rebellion of the Ukraine, which has seen my prophet, shall come out of those ashes beauty, shall come out of the sadness joy, shall come out of those garments praise, says the Lord. For I have searched for a man and a woman who would stand in the Oval Office and pray and call for the restoration of the fortunes of Zion. I have looked for a man who would pray for the restoration of the fortunes of Zion. Therefore, if you hear my heart, says the Lord today, I will take you on a journey. I will first take you to Israel, whom they would have given Jerusalem to his enemies. Why would they give half of Jerusalem away? This is, will not happen, says the Lord, for I will take you on a journey today into Jerusalem, where it shall be prophesied through the song of my prophet what I intend doing in Jerusalem and in the United States of America at that time, says the Lord. I am restoring the fortunes of Zion. I am restoring the fortunes that were the inheritance of my people. I am restoring the fortunes of those who are the elect of God and have been stolen from. You shall eat your delicacies again, and your children will no longer be your food. You shall not use them or take them out of the womb anymore, says the Lord. Watch how I change everything. Do you know that last week, two abortion clinics, two more, were closed in Texas, no longer in business? Do you know that the worst state for abortion has no legal abortion clinics anymore? Do you think God's doing something? Watch how I change everything. For those, there shall be those who are in justice, those who are in a strong position. I'm just now hearing this. In the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, two shall step down for the embarrassment of what shall take place, for I wish to place in the highest court of the land righteousness. Did you hear that? Get ready. Oh, by the way, he and three other prophets prophesied our current president would be president before he was even running for office. Think God knows what he's doing in the nations? God's not done with us. And they shall attempt to put others in to endeavor to reach their endeavors. But God says, hear me tonight. Hear me today. I have this whole thing planned out according to my will, for it is now time for me to restore the fortunes of Zion. The fortunes to those who once had it are going to get it back. This is my promise, says the Lord of hosts. Let us go to Israel, let us go to Israel, let us go to Israel, where there is a single woman crying and praying for the peace and the prosperity of her land. Listen to her as she prays out, for this is happening now, and I am hearing her prayer from the hills outside Jerusalem. This is actually happening in the spirit. Remember the prophecy that brought this man into the mantle of a prophet, that he would be a prophet to the nations. This man stood in Jerusalem, the man I saw in a vision. A man came out of a vision. Please hear me. I was standing in my garden. Suddenly the Spirit came upon me and removed from my eyes scales. I was praying for America. I was praying for Israel. Nothing unusual. Suddenly behind me, starting behind my back, going in the form of an arrow, were hundreds of thousands of people. And I turned around and I was stunned at what I saw. This was not just a mere dream, but this was a vision. And so I raised my hand like this, and every one of them raised their hands. I looked back at what they were doing, the same thing. I shouted and they all shouted. They were one. They were one. One party of people. It continued until I realized that in the unity of these, amongst them stood one that God had set aside to be the leader of this nation. I said, why am I hearing this so soon? Surely you would show me a little bit of it closer to the time. And the Spirit of God said to me, this man has a humble stature, but he is a genius. Then I heard gold. I wasn't sure if this was attached to his name, but he said to me, he will restore the fortunes of this nation because of his brilliance. I couldn't quite see his face because that was not allowed, because there was a mist that had covered the people, and he was among them. And the Spirit of God made me look at him, and he said, this man will throttle the enemies of Israel. This man will throttle the enemies of the West. And there are highly embarrassing moments that are about to occur for many politicians in this nation. You think? There will be a shaking amongst the Democrats in the upcoming elections, but unsettling for the Republicans. Why is God doing this? For God said, I am dissatisfied with what emerges from both parties. So are we. And then there is a nation he showed me. He took me itching for a new kind of war with America. And they will shout, impeach, impeach. they say, but nay. This nation shall come very subtly, but he shall not come in the time of President Obama. They shall come when this new one arises, my David that I have set aside for this nation, a man of prayer, a man of choice words, not a man who is verbose, who has verbosity, who speaks too much. They will even say, this man is not speaking enough, but God says, I have set him aside. They will shout, impeach, impeach, but this will not happen. And then God says, highly embarrassing moments when another Snowden arises and people will become afraid. They'll say, we have no protection. And then God says, am I impressed with your weapons of war? Sounds like the Bible, doesn't it? Am I impressed with the strength of your men's legs? Ha! I have said I will bring this nation to its knees. And God said, you have been humbled and yet some more. And then you shall hear the sounds of great victory. For where are the people gathered? Where are my people gathered? Where is the sound of unity from my people? In this next week, which has already gone by, this man shall begin to emerge, and in the following 2 weeks, which is this week, which is a three-week period, he will slowly come to the fore. For they are saying, how do we kill a giant? Remember, this is a year to take down our giants. How do we kill the giant of debt? How do we kill the giant of socialism? How do we kill the giant of human secularism? I have placed that man among you, a humble man. And as Samuel stood before the brothers, and they have rejected David to come because of his age, take all these remarks I am giving you. They are gems. The name and the word gold, remember that. A man is amongst them, but is young. And God says that they shall reject him and be shocked at how he takes the giant down. Now hear me, please. The giant of debt. The giants have come, the brothers of Goliath. Stand in glee watching America. We will cripple you. You will lose your credit. But God says, watch. I said 20,000. Look not at Wall Street, however, observe. And they shall say, what is your plan for this giant? And he will take a simple stone, remember the name. And he will hold it up, and they will laugh at him. But the plan is so brilliant, says the Lord, it could only have been given by me. California, you are drying because of a drought. Start praying for California and the whole Midwest, Southwest United States. Watch my sign. Watch the sign of rain, for I have told you there would be severe wind from above, and all the states that are affected by the severe weather have been set up for a shaking by my spirit and an outpouring of my spirit. But California, I am looking at you. Gold, stone, California, and a small of stature. And God says, once you recognize the man I have raised up, pray for the enemy will do everything in his power to put a witch in the White House. Did anyone hear what he just said? For Jezebel has chased away the prophets and even Elijah. Now I have said, go back, for this shall be dismantled, and there shall be no more corruption in the White House, says the Lord. It's been going on for decades. America, freedom is yours in the spirit. Israel, freedom to reign. America, righteousness, judgment, and a great shaking of the spirit of America. The Spirit of God says, one more thing I want to talk to you about. The little dwarf in North Korea. I was over there when all of this was taking place. I'm getting a little tired of him. I think I'm going to go and pay him a visit, says the Lord. You watch and see what I will do. That will be a big sign that the man that I am sending with the stone for the giant is emerging, says the Lord. I felt very connected to that word because the prophets who prophesied the mantle over him told me about that 3 days before this word. Go ahead.
Can I just share something?
Yeah. So it gets on the tape.
Eldon Wilson had told us about prophesying for Kim Clement. And he had then gone to a meeting that Kim Clement was running, Eldon had, and he was sitting in the congregation. And Eldon had been praying and praying and praying, Lord, I don't want to die until I see revival come again. And he's 80, you know, and still going all over the world, but he had been praying and praying that. And he realized this was the guy he had prophesied over about halfway through the service. And all of a sudden, Kim Clement turned to Eldon, pointed at him, and said, you will not die until you see the revival that you have been calling for.
Amen. When Casey and I were in Guatemala, Norman Parrish told us that true revival has not come to Guatemala, no matter what the transformation videos say. Norman is the apostle that every apostle in Guatemala credits with the beginning of the revival. Well, Norman said the Lord told him, I said, how much longer do you think it will take? And he said, well, I'm not really worried about it. I think 20 years. But the Lord said, I will see the real revival. So people who started the work, the Lord's making confirmations to them. We saw the Lord do healings all over. We saw the Lord put healing in the hands of the people that we were praying for. We saw hips come in. We saw, I mean, people who needed hip replacements. It was amazing watching what the Lord did to their bodies, and they just walked away. We saw deaf ears open. I mean, I saw a whole bunch of stuff. The neat thing was I saw believers putting their hands on people doing these things, which is what we're all supposed to do. That's what equipping is all about, right? It's not about a one-person show. On March 1st, Chuck Pierce released a word about New York State. I sent it out as part of the Reform Rochester, that the Lord is going to be doing a shaking across this state this year, and it's going to impact the entire nation. Well, Chuck knew a little bit about what we're going to be doing in this state, what we have been doing here in the city. But he didn't know that we had planned, and that's what July 30th is all about. We're the first city of five across New York. He didn't know we were going to do the entire New York state to bring freedom and liberty to the body of Christ. So get ready, there's a shaking coming. I'm sharing prophetic words with you tonight because we're a prophetic people. I can send all of these and you can read them all. I traveled in Indonesia with a brother from Seattle who met me in Singapore. Our host fell down and broke her arm and needed surgery and didn't catch up with us until Friday in Jakarta. But we did the whole trip that she had planned and asked us for, spiritual assignments. And at the end of a very long day in which I ministered in three nations in four cities on four different flights in 24 hours, he said, have you ever done this before? And I said, well, I've been four cities in 24 hours across New York with Chuck Pierce, but I've never done it by plane in three different nations. So thank you for your prayers because I don't know where I am. I thought of putting a big sign up that said, today is yesterday's tomorrow, which is true. Today is yesterday's tomorrow, because every time I'd call back to the States, I had to remember what day it was. Let's see. Oh, you'll get there in another 12 hours or 13 hours. But the Lord did amazing things in those cities, just building hope in people with the prophetic words. The whole intent was to begin to give them a foundation for cleansing their land that their business was on. And then we did a conference in Jakarta that started. We actually worshiped with you last two Saturdays ago. I have to remember what day it is. Because we started at 5 in the morning, which was 6 o'clock at night. And so we were worshiping and while you guys were. And I'm just thanking the Lord for whatever happened here, knowing that I didn't have to speak first. So I could just enjoy the worship, which was passionate. I didn't understand a word they were saying until they sang English. We prophesied over 90 people. It was a long day and night. Through an interpreter, she was a gift from the Lord. She teaches English at a Christian school. I ended up teaching more than I thought I was going to, never used more than the first three pages of an 18-page set of notes, because everything else became question and answer, and whatever they asked, we taught on. On Sunday, we got to sleep in. We started at 6 in the morning, and I spoke for 8.5 hours. So I'm going to stop in a couple minutes, and you can all go have refreshments. But at one point in this message, and this is how I'll end, I've got a few other prophetic words that I'll send out. They had moved all of the chairs because I said something about worshiping, and so they moved all the chairs. So when they dance in Jakarta, it's all line dancing. When they watched me worship, they didn't know what to do. And so they just went crazy, but I'm watching, there's about 75 people in the headquarters of this place. It's not a church, it's a business that asked us to come and teach about kingdom principles in the marketplace. And so I'm looking, and they had just had a snack, and there's this, it's like it looks like a hamburger bun, but it's not. It's not sliced open, and it's got some type of meat in the inside of it. But it's wrapped in a little cellophane pouch. And all of a sudden, someone asked a question, wanted some more teaching, and they all just sat down. Now, I've taught at the Sea of Galilee on the feeding of the 5,000, and that's what it reminded me of. And someone at the meeting before had jokingly said to my friend from Seattle, it's just like listening at Jesus. And I said, well, it should be. If you're speaking the word of God, all of you should be Jesus speaking to whoever's around you. So they all sat down, and I saw this bun sitting there, and my friend Adam is sitting over there, and I tossed it to him, and he caught it, and I said, it's blessed. You break it and multiply it. And they all just started laughing because we had talked about if you really want to carry the blessing of the Lord in business, you have to allow him to break you so he can multiply you. Well, the owner of this business said she's never been able to get them to stay for more than an hour. And every time I said we were done, they said they wanted more. So there's holy hunger there. I went from there to Malaysia, where I got to go to the highest point in Southeast Asia on Mount Kinabalu. To 4 hours, actually it was about 12 hours later, to the longest river in Southeast Asia in Cebu, where we planted an apostolic center last year, and they are thriving. They wanted to hear about how to overcome the spirit of poverty, so that was the main topic, but it was, again, just other messages woven in because of what they needed to hear. So take heart, because this is the group that sent us the testimony, and when we dedicated their building last Sunday morning, they heard a prophecy out of my mouth that started with, don't get too comfortable here. Because they're already filling that place up. And the Lord has more for them to do. The warfare, thank you for those of you who were warring for us, was intense. The first day of the conference I was doing there, it was like a spirit of witchcraft was just trying to wrap around my head. We were right in the building. It's not anymore. Well, it's still there. Was right on the ley line between two power points, one of idolatry that the nation was founded upon, and another. And so Casey said, what happened about 3 o'clock in the morning for you? Which would have been about, at that time it would have been for you guys here, about 2 in the afternoon, because we were 13 hours ahead of you. Okay, yeah, so it was 2 in the afternoon for us, and that was right when we started worship after the lunch break. And they just went to a whole new level. And I turned around to the apostle of the apostolic center there, and I looked at her and I said, we just broke the spirit of witchcraft. I mean, the place was heaven and earth combined in the worship. Oh, the oldest worship leader was 26. They went from 11 to 26. So that was just the oldest person that they had in their group that played an instrument. They have a mixture like us in their assembly, but they just went to a whole new level and where it was. And I had just whispered to the leader, just sing in the spirit for a while. And that's when it broke. They got everybody singing in the spirit. They just started letting the instrument sing in the spirit. And that broke the spirit of witchcraft. So thank you for your prayers. The Lord's doing great things. I did get invited back to every place. I hope next time we go, I did say we. I saw the most beautiful sunset I have ever seen in my life on an island in the South China Sea off the coast of Kota Kinabalu, Malaysia. They took a picture of me sitting under this canopy on a beach. I was there because I was training the intercessors for this business on how to do spiritual warfare and land cleansing. And I looked at my hostess and said, this is not real. She said, what? I said, this is not real. First, you'll never see me sitting down like this, doing nothing. On a beach, eating fried prawns. It was high tea from Malaysia. Fruit, prawns, and tea. It was good. Suffering for Jesus. And I said, secondly, this is like a movie. I said, this is not real to me. Do people really live like this? And she said, oh, yes. And they do. And I've never seen, I mean, this was one of the colors of the sky. I've never seen the sky that rich before. And I was with business consultants that were helping them do redesign and with some of the managers of this resort. And I'm just watching the sunset. I'm watching sea turtles in the South China Sea come up and catch fish. And I'm watching the sunset. And I looked at her and I said, this is almost perfect. She said, what's wrong? And I said, my wife's not here. That would have made it perfect. The Lord is about to bring suddenlies on us. Are you ready for his suddenlies? Are you ready for the unexpected? Remember I told you earlier this year, this is a year to expect the unexpected. The suddenlies of God are going to open doors for you that you've either got to be ready to go through them, which is why this period of Adar 2 is such a grace to us, to get delivered from that stuff that's been tagging along with us for all of our lives, so that we can freely go into those places that he's about to open in the suddenlies. Lord, I ask that you would do a work in each of our hearts. Lord, even as we gave you our heart tonight in communion, I ask that you would take our soul and continue to deliver us from those little foxes that are trying to spoil your vine. Lord, I ask that you would give us eyes to see what you are doing and ears to hear what you are saying, that even in the most mundane of circumstances, we will hear heaven and we will bring your presence to bear. Lord, give us the suddenlies that will allow us to represent you and cause others to wonder how great you are. Lord, I thank you that you have brought us to such a time and such a place as this. Let your glory fall upon us and let your glory be made manifest through us, that others would come to you and that your name would be lifted even higher in this region. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I love you all. It's good to be home. Please stay in fellowship.